I often say, are like feet. Most folks got one or two, and a whole lot of them stink. But the Lord's ways is high above man's ways. So now I've given you a little time to get to the Gospel of John. I'm going to ask everybody if they would, if you're able to stand at the reading of His Word and read some familiar text here in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. And at verse number 43 is where we'll start reading. Verse number 43. And the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and findeth Philip, and saith unto him, Follow me. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, a city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, and said unto him, We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, Can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip saith unto him, Come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I have said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you one more time today. Can never thank you enough, Lord Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord Father, for the songs that's been sung. And Lord Father, we thank you so much for your will. Thank you so much for your gospel and your grace. Oh God, right now, Lord, we need your strength. Need your spirit, need your power. Lord, we don't need me, we need you. And Lord, I pray that you would hide me in the midst of the cross, that I would lose sight of myself, and this congregation would lose sight of me, but that our hearts would be open to hear what you have to say. God, I'm not ignorant to the fact, Lord, that everybody that comes to the house of God, some don't come in the condition that they ought to be in. And Lord, but we all need to leave in the condition that you want us to be in. Lord, my prayer is right now that everybody that leaves this building is saved, born again, and also having an excitement, or as the Scripture says, a zeal for you and for your ways. Father, I pray that our ears would be open, that our attention would be focused. Lord, we not allow things or look for things to distract. I'm reminded that we ought to give the more earnest heed to these things. Lord, I pray today that, Lord, we would all listen and hear. Lord, you'd preach me. And as I said before I prayed this, I pray this now. Give me the boldness and the words to say those, and the words to say, in the right spirit to say them. Lord, don't let me say things that's contrary to your ways, and contrary that would help the person here in their heart. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. I want to preach this morning on fig leaf religion. I want to preach this morning on fig leaf religion. You'll find in the Scriptures the fig tree throughout all the Scriptures. First place you find it, it is the very third tree in the Bible that is mentioned. You'll find that it is in the Garden of Eden. It's in the garden with Adam and Eve. We find it throughout the Old Testament, the laws and the prophets. We find it throughout the writings of the kings, we find the fig tree. But I think in today's day and time, we have a fig tree type religion in most of the world. But there is some things that God wants to give us of the fig tree. And before we can get to the things of what God wants to give us, we have to get rid of the fig leaf religion. We have to get rid of the things that we deem to be what's right and what we deem to be what's wrong. We find here in the Scriptures where Jesus has just recently been baptized by John the Baptist. In the gospel that we hear that John testifying, they would come to John and say, John, are you the one? And John say, I'm not the one, but I've been come and to shine the light to tell of the one that's supposed to come. Oh, as he preached along the river, John the Baptist, a lot of folks come out to see John the Baptist. I believe that a lot of folks went out to see John the Baptist because they was curious about what he was preaching. A lot of the poor folk went out there, and the preaching pricked their heart. And he says, I do baptize thee with water unto repentance. But he was talking about and preaching about that Jesus was coming. He was preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And I'm glad to know this, that when Jesus showed up on the banks of the river, it didn't take him long to shut his mouth. And he pointed and said, behold, the Lamb of God taketh away the sin of the world. And oh, I thank God that that day that when Jesus was there, John the Baptist was there. John the Baptist, the one preaching the things and preaching the way. The Bible says that he was unto the law and the prophets were unto John. John being the last of that Old Testament way. And John the Baptist, and Jesus said in Matthew chapter number 11, he says, if you'll have it, this is Elias. Saying this is Elijah. It was the one prophesied to come. And when Jesus was going, he left that river and began to preach the ministry. And he went and calling those disciples, we see that he finds Philip. And he tells Philip, he said, just follow me. I wish, and my prayer is today, that when the Lord speaks to our hearts and says, follow me, we don't make no excuses. We don't say, but. We don't say, but I have to, and there's something else. I pray we'd be like Philip, and we just follow him and go out and tell people that Jesus is coming. Jesus is on his way. But we find here in the scriptures where Nathanael is found under the fig tree. The fig tree, as I said, we find throughout all the scripture. We find it in the very first book of Genesis, and we find it in the last book in Revelation. But can I say them figs that's supposed to fall from them trees is something that was a blessing. The blessing of the fig in 1 Samuel chapter number 25. We find this is Abigail, as David and his men are out journeying through the land. They no doubt are weak, and sometimes the meals don't come like we'd like to have or they'd like to have. But Abigail, she brung him some loaves of bread and she brung him some figs to refresh him on his way. We find also in 2 Samuel chapter number 16 and verse number 1, we find that Ziba, the one sent by Mephibosheth, sent some loaves of bread and some figs unto King David, that David's body and that his spirit might be refreshed by those food. And can I say, figs was very important back in the day. Whenever they had summer fruits and things that was good and things that was bad, it was a representation used by the fig. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter number 2 that Jeremiah was presented with a vision. There was one basket full of good figs and another basket full of bad figs. The good figs was good to eat and the bad figs were not fit to eat. And can I say this today? The fruit that comes off that fig tree, it ought to be good fruit. My Bible tells me that every good tree produces good fruit and every bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. That's not Jason Faulkner's words. That's not my opinion. That is what thus saith the Lord. And friend, it's so more important now for us not to have the fig leaf religion of the world, but us to have the religion that's pure in the sight of God. James says to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You know, with the preacher, I never forget growing up as a boy. My mom and dad had pear trees and had apple trees. We had grapevines. We had the garden out there. And I'll never forget, we'd look up there and them fruit, them apples, and sometimes them pears would get this spot on it. I couldn't remember what the scientific word on it. My dad just used to call them. They got the blot on them. Got them blots on them things. He said, don't you grab them apples. Don't you grab them pears. Them things ain't good enough to eat. They may look like they got something, but they ain't really fit to be eaten. And can I say, I hate to say this, but in 2019, we got some people that's trying to produce some fruit in a Christian walk, in a Christian life, but they got some blots on them from the world. And though they ought to be good to eat, Brother Eddie, they ain't good to eat. What they need to do is to get rid of that old nasty fruit and be the thing that God wants them to be, and that's a tree producing good fruit. I find in the first place that I find that the fig leaf religion presents itself, we find it in the book of Genesis chapter number 3. We find in the Garden of Eden, we know the story, that yet Adam and Eve is there, and they were told and commanded of God, saying that everything of the garden you can eat thereof, every tree you can eat thereof. He said, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat thereof, for the day that thou eat thereof thou shalt surely die. And can I say this? A lot of folks is running around saying, I can't keep all those commandments. Friend, if you just had one like Adam and Eve, we'd all break that one commandment. Somebody say amen right there. But I do know this, that when Adam and Eve was sitting there, Adam had ventured off, left his wife alone. She was looking at the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Her eyes were fastened upon it. And it wouldn't take long, those slew foot to show up, the devil to show up, and Satan to show up. Y'all, I hope y'all listen to this preacher, because I want to tell you this. The more you look at something, the more your eyes are enticed about something, that flesh will tell you to stay looking upon those things, and you mark her down, the devil will show up, the Satan will show up. He'll entice you even more than what your flesh is already enticing you. And friend, there's never nothing good. There's never no life being produced when the devil gets around you. There's nothing but death. Bible says that he told them, the day you eat thereof thou shalt surely die. And more people keep fasting and looking upon the things they ought not to look upon. And can I say this? I know it gets preached over and over and over again, but I think the things that we are looking upon ought to be good things, not things that are not right. Anymore now, as I like to say, it's been said to me, and I'm just repeating it. The first look, shame on them. The second look, shame on me. If it ain't right, you ought not to be looking at it. Everybody listen to the preacher? That just doesn't go for young people. I know sometimes we kind of prick and poke at the young people about that. But even as some of us older people need to realize, if you're looking more than once at things that ain't good, you ought not to be looking. Shame on you. That's good preaching. Yes, sir. But the Bible says in that Genesis chapter number 3, that the Bible says that Eve took of the fruit thereof because the devil lied to her and said, thou shalt not surely die. What he was trying to do is take a little bit of the truth and make a great big giant lie, and Eve bought into it. She took of that fruit and she ate of that fruit and she gave it unto Adam, and Adam did eat. Now can I say this? The Bible says that their eyes were open when they ate that fruit. And Sister Stella, they saw that themselves were naked. And the Bible says that they were ashamed. Can I say this? Boy, time sure has changed nowadays. Used to, it was a shame to see somebody naked. Now they're all walking half naked as it is. They walk half naked to the Walmart. They walk half naked to the grocery store, to Kroger. They walk half naked to the Dollar General. They're walking half naked to school. Brother Jeff, the kids are. And now I even see some walking half naked going to church. That's absolutely right. Friend, it ought not to be. It ought to be a shame. It should cause us to blush. Hey, there's just some things we ought not to see about one another. Oh, I was telling Brother Eddie and Brother Don about an old sainted man talking to a Christian young lady about how she was dressed. And can I say this? It's good for the goose. It's good for the gander. I don't think we should be seeing any cleavage on a man or any cleavage on a woman. Somebody say amen right there. And if you've got a problem keeping your pants up, there's two things that God invented through man. One's called a belt and another one's called a pair of suspenders. And if you can't get none of them, there's something even better than a pair of belt and suspenders. They're called a pair of bibbed overalls, which I like to prefer. Everything's covered. You ain't got to worry about nothing poking out and showing out. Somebody say amen. They got a size for the skin, they got the size for the fat. That's the size that I normally go to. But it will keep you covered and you won't have to blush. But my Bible tells me even in Jeremiah's days, they couldn't even blush no more over the sin. And that's where we've reached at today. They don't even blush no more. Adam and Eve's eyes were open. They saw those things was nasty and filthy. Now, can I say this? There will come a time, Brother Eddie, and I believe it in every man or every boy and every girl's life. I believe there'll come a stage in their life where God will open up their eyes about sin. They'll see the truth about sin. They'll see what's good and what's wrong. And Sister Shirley, they've got to make a choice in their life. You can't play on both sides of the fence. You can't have the feel-good message and pat you on the back and say God understands everything. Friend, God don't understand everything. The Bible says he winked at God, at man's ignorance once, and then from that point on, he commands man everywhere to repent. And that's what we need to do is repent. But the Bible says when they saw themselves naked, they grabbed themselves fig leaves to try to cover up their nakedness. They hid amongst the fig trees and the bushes to hide from God. Can I say this? You might be able to try to take that fig leaf religion and cover up your inconsistencies and cover up your dark secrets from the preacher, and I'll never know the wiser. You could come in here and you've got your Bible, you've got your songbook, you may get up in the choir, you may just sit in the pew, and you may think nobody knows anything about me. It's my life, preacher, it's none of your business. But I beg to differ, friend, it is my business. It's my job to stand in this pulpit and preach the very message that God has to say. And for some reason, I don't know why, Brother Eddie, but it's not up to me to know why. But Stella, God sent me here this morning to say, some of you is covering up with religion. Some of you is trying to cover up your life and your sins. And friends, you will not prosper. The Bible says, he that covereth up sin shall not prosper. Can I say, I've seen many of people, Brother Josh, and I have to say, oh me, about this. There's been times when I've done wrong and I've tried to cover it up, thinking nobody will understand, nobody will know the wiser. And it was all about religion, Brother Kenny. I thought I was perfect, never sinned and came short. I'd preach against people that sinned and came short. I'd badmouth them and say they need to get saved, need to get right with God. And the whole entire time I got this little voice in the back of my head going, you ain't nobody. You ain't better than nobody else. Just what exactly you think you're doing? I fought against it, Brother Eddie. I covered it up with the fig leaves. I covered it up with my religion. I had the tie on, had the nice dress shirt on, had the dress shoes and the back dress pants on, had the King James Bible. But all of a sudden in the middle of my living room, God got a hold of me and broke me down like an old shotgun and said, just who do you think you are? You're nothing without me. You can't walk without me. You can't talk without me. And friend, if it ain't for me, you'd still be winding up in that hellhole of a life, either dead or in prison. You better repent and get right with me. There's more and more people trying to cover up their life, cover up their ways, saying, I'm good. I'm just as much as a part of God's people as anybody else. God forgives sin, preacher, so who do you think you are? Friend, can I say, he sent his son to die upon the cross, the proof that it did forgive people of their sin. But the Bible says if you don't repent and put your faith in Jesus, you're not going to heaven. You can beat your chest and you can bellow all day long and say that you're all right with God and you're all right with God. Friend, you ain't got to prove it to me. Friend, you ain't got to prove it to those men. You ain't got to prove it to these ladies. You ain't got to prove it to these young people or these old people. But friend, you do know what's going on the inside. You can't hide it from yourself. You're underneath the fig leaves. And though you're trying to hide yourself from everything else, you ain't hiding yourself from God. The Bible says in Numbers chapter number 32 and verse number 23, Moses told them children of Israel, he says, be sure your sins will find you out. Oh, can I say this in the fig leaf religion? The Bible, when I look at this and I see what the Bible says about them people who try to cover up sins, Brother Eddie, but when he says, he that covereth up sins, in the book of Proverbs, verse chapter number 28, he said, he that covereth up sins shall not prosper. But he didn't leave us there, friend. I ain't trying to beat you up, and I'm not trying to say anything about the way you're living other than what the Bible says. But friend, if you confess those sins and forsake those sins, the Bible says, you shall have mercy. I don't know about you, but I'd rather have mercy than have fig leaves. I'd rather have mercy than try to hide my sins from God. I'd rather have mercy than sit there and try to fake it until I make it. I'd rather have mercy and have the peace of God in my heart. Fig leaf religion won't do. I don't care if you're a Sunday school teacher. I don't care if you're a preacher. I don't care if you're just a lay member just coming in on Sunday. Friends, you can't cover up your life and think you've got God fooled because you got the preacher fooled. Hey, I'm not the one who stamps the ticket. I'm not the one who punches the ticket for you to get the glory. Friend, I'm preaching about the one who does punch that ticket, and he knows your life. Young person, middle-aged person, old person, they know what you're doing in the middle of the night. They know what you're doing on the cell phone. They know what you're doing on the computer, and on the laptop, and on the tablet. He knows exactly what you're doing, even if you're doing it in Morse code. Somebody say amen right there. There's no avenue of description that you can try to do or of any kind of way to find the things that you want to do, perverted things to say and go by where God does not know. I preached last Sunday and said that over 50% of the men of the world spy and look and seek out pornographic material once a month. But the statistic that alarmed me was that 43% of church-going men are the ones who's also doing the same thing. I got a report of a church that I know of down in Kentucky, won't say where it's at, But that church had a reputation of the pastor preaching the truth, the singers blasting the windows out because they sung with such a fervent spirit and the Holy Ghost was upon them. People was going there flocking to that church because everything was great and everything was good. But I got a little message from somebody and said, man, things got real bad. The whole church blew up. A bunch of people has left. A mass exodus has left the church. I said, just exactly what happened and what went on. They said they caught the preacher sexting and sending text messages of perversion photos to underage girls in the church. And can I say this? I don't know what in the world thought he could get by with it. I don't know what he thought, what kind of fig leaf would cover that, Brother Eddie. I want to say this to everybody that's listening underneath the sound of my voice. Man, woman, boy, or girl, husband, wife, I don't care who you are, it will always come out. You can't keep her covered up for long. Ask my kids. The one thing I tell them, I said, you can lie to Dad right now and I may not know it, but here pretty soon I will. Y'all listen to the preacher? Sister Shirley, I'll look at you because I'll just say this. Them people, you know exactly how I'm saying this. I was just talking to somebody who happened to be around some. And I got told some of the things they did. And they tried to keep it secret from Dad. I wasn't poking. I wasn't prying. And for some reason, they just let it slip out. I don't think it slipped out. I don't believe in coincidences. I don't care if you all do or not. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in the sovereignty of God. And can I say this? I'm not preaching like this to bust your bubble and stomp on your head. I'm preaching like this because God's inside your bubble and knows your heart. Fig leaf religion ain't going to do. You know why it don't do? Because the voice of the Lord come walking in the cool of the day. And the voice of the Lord come walking in the cool of the day, them fig leaves couldn't cover them up. Them bushes couldn't cover them up. You may hide from the eyesight of the preacher. And can I say this? And I hope y'all take this. I'm taking this scripturally. You can hide from the eyesight of the Lord, maybe, but you cannot hide from the voice of the Lord. Because the Bible says it come walking in the cool of the day. And he started to call out unto Adam, "Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou, Adam?" And he's hiding from the Lord. Can I say this Sunday after Sunday, Brother Eddie? The Lord's walking to and fro through the pews and through the hallways and the aisleways of Mount Zion Baptist Church. And though I'm not saying it with my voice, but sister, still the Lord's saying it with the voice of the Scriptures. Where are you today? Just exactly where are you? Some of your mind's laid up in something that you're doing after church. Some of your mind's laid up in where you're going to eat after church. Some of your minds are laid up in what you did last night. Some of y'all's minds are made up in what you want to do for a vacation and what you're doing next weekend. And some of you, though, you may be here in body, and some of you may be here with a heartbeat, but you're not here with the Spirit. You're not here seeking the Lord. You're not here wanting to worship God. You're just coming to punch a clock. You're just here saying, I've done my deed for the week. And oh, friend, can I tell you, fig leaf religion just won't do. If your God's marker down, he's coming to visit you. And some of you right now, he's already been visiting. You've got pride welled up in your heart because you're afraid what everybody's going to think about you. You know what? I'm not saying this to be mean, but that's what you deserve. You deserve all that shame and guilt that's bearing upon you. We're sinners. Y'all listen to the preacher? Now listen to this real close. Before I move on, listen to this real close. But you ain't got to bear it no more. Because there's a God that loves you and forgives you and says, hey, give me all that shame and guilt. I forgive you. I forgive you. Don't fight against God. It's a losing battle. Don't frustrate the grace of God. It's a losing battle. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't run the Spirit off. If God's been dealing with your heart, you need to quit. You need to surrender. Wave the white flag. Fall upon Him for mercy. Judgment is calling. But friend, I can tell you this. If you confess and forsake your sin, you get mercy. I don't know about you, but I'd rather trade off sappy and bad mood and sorry attitude and get mercy and grace and peace and rest. It's a wonderful exchange. Secondly, about the fig leaf religion, we find in the Gospel of Matthew, we find in the Gospel of Mark. Well, I do believe I got it wrote down. We find it in the 21st chapter of Matthew and we find it in the 11th chapter of Mark. We find in the Scriptures that where the Bible says that Jesus was coming to Bethany and he finds this fig tree and it's got leaves. So he comes upon the fig tree to get the fruit, but there ain't no fruit. Jesus looks at the fig tree. In Mark chapter 11, the Bible says he sees it afar off and sees the leaves. He's hungry and he wants the fruit. But when he gets there, there's no fruit on the fig tree. He curses the fig tree, Noah Faulkner. He said, from this point on, you shall bear no fruit. No fruit. The Bible says when they left Bethany and went past that fig tree, it had withered and died. Now, I know somebody's going to say, is the preacher going to preach on this and preach on that? I know what the theologians say, and I have my opinion of the Scripture, things that God showed me. Some people want to talk about that's Israel. Some people want to talk about that. I want to say it like this. It's 2019. I want to preach to the congregation of Mount Zion Baptist Church. Does Jesus see you afar off having the leaves of a fig tree, but you ain't got no fruit? Can I say this? In those days, the fig trees, before there was leaves, the fruit started to come. So when the leaves showed up, it was a guaranteed notice that there was fruit that you could get from the fig tree. Can you imagine how if you're in a place and you're hungry and you're starving and you need something to eat and you see that fig tree afar off and you run to it and there's nothing there? Y'all listen to the preacher? But how much more important is it when this lost and dying world is seeing us walk out of a church house and we got our Bibles cupped underneath our arm, or maybe we got our Bibles on our phones, or maybe we got our Bibles in a case or in a purse or a satchel of some kind, but we got the clothes on, we got the thing on, we're handshaking with one another and we're smiling. Maybe me and Stella and Sister Becky's walking out and we're sitting there going, man, that was a good sermon, man, that was wonderful preaching, everything was good. And all of a sudden the drunk of the street comes walking by and goes, hey, what's going on? And I turn to him and go, man, just keep on walking down the sidewalk, you're good for nothing. What kind of fruit's that? Huh? Can I say this? I think God is to test with some of our fig trees. And I'll use the fig tree in another example here in a minute to back this up. I think we got fig trees in the church house, Brother Eddie. They got the best looking leaves, and if they got blooms, they got the best looking blooms, but they ain't got no fruit on that fig tree. Can I say this? The Bible says you're known by the fruit that you bear. That's how they know you. Negative, backbiting, hateful, disrespectful, pornographic talk, nasty, filthy conversation, dirty jokes. And can I say this? Though you may not say it with your mouth in front of nobody, but in the darkest part of your house, maybe in the car, you're sitting there mashing them fingers as fast as they'll go on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and anything else they got. I don't know. They probably got new ones by now. But I'm sitting, and I say this, and I told some of them last night, Brother Eddie, I'm about done with all the social media. And here's the reason why. I know more things about some of you I never should know. I never should know. Some of your lives, you ain't got to come into church and advertise it. You broadcast it. People say, preacher, you ought not to come in church and preach on something I posted on Facebook. What in the world am I supposed to do? You're putting her out there, biggest. And the Lord says, preacher, what are you going to do about it? I always go, God, what are you going to do? He said, I'm the one that put you there to be the overseer of the church. What are you going to do? So I got to sit there and suck it up, get some of the mean looks from some of you. You look like you swallowed a fly or a mosquito, looking at me like I just kicked your puppy down the road. Friend, it ain't me that caused this problem. It's you. My Bible tells me that when Jesus come to that tree, he was to find the fruit. There was none thereon. And them disciples, they marveled at it. They marveled at it. Friend, you mark her down. The Bible says this in another place. If you're trying to be the fig tree and you ain't got no fruit, you're on a very limited time, friend. You're on a very limited time. Some people don't like this preaching. Brother Eddie, I don't know if too many preachers even preach this anymore. But friend, you down. If you are God's fig tree, and I do mean the big word if, and if you're not bearing the fruit that God says to bear, friend, mark her down. You ain't going to last very long because he'll cut you down. Luke chapter number 13. We come across it last night about repentance. He said, lo, they asked Jesus, so this tower fell upon these people and killed these people. Suppose these people are bigger sinners than anybody else. And Jesus said, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. And they said, well, maybe them people that Pilate mingled their blood with the sacrifices, he says, maybe they were sinners above everybody else. Jesus, what do you think? He said, unless you repent, you shall likewise perish. And I said this last night. I don't care who you think you are. You may think you're better than everybody else. You probably even are better than me. But I've got to repent. You've got to repent. The Bible says everywhere everybody's got to repent. And if you don't repent, friend, mark her down. And here's the story or the parable that Jesus gave. He said the husband come to his vineyard. He come to his place where his fruit tree was. And he found the fig tree and it was barren. There was no fruit upon that fig tree. And he looked at the husband of the vineyard. He says, cut her down. Cut it down right now. That tree ain't producing no fruit. And the husbandman, he pleaded and he begged. He says, no, sir. He said, let me have it for a year or two. Let me have about 3 years, 4 years. Let me dig around the ray of the base of that tree. Lord, let me dig around the trunk of that tree. Let me water this tree. Let me put some dung upon it, some fertilizer upon it. He says, and when you return, he said, if there's no fruit upon the tree, we'll cut it down, for there's no reason for it to cumber the ground. Oh, Brother Josh, can I say this? The men of God has been digging around trees throughout centuries. Can I say the men of God has been watering around the trees throughout centuries? And friends, you're here underneath the sound of my voice in Mount Zion Baptist Church, and God's looking for some fruit upon you. He's passed by you and said, there's no fruit on you. And God says, Jason, I'm about to take this one out. And some of these preachers, and this preacher's one of them, says, oh God, would you please give him a little bit more time? Oh, sweet Jesus, just give us one more day, one more message, one more song. Why? That we may dig around and get to your root and change you from a non-fruit producing tree to a tree that produces fruit. Can I say this? Jesus told them disciples, he says, I have chosen you. I've chosen you. You have not chosen me. But I have chosen you and ordained you that you'd bring forth fruit. Fruit is not showing up to church. That's responsibility. Don't listen to the preacher. Fruit is not reading your Bible. That's responsibility. Fruit is not praying. That's your responsibility. Our reasonable service is to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I said our reasonable service is to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Let me say it a little bit slower. Our reasonable service is to present ourselves. He's not to present me. Eddie's not to present me. Josh is not to present me. But I'm to present myself a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. We live in a fig leaf religion era. I have found more people who will squabble on how to get to heaven when they should be shouting on how to get to heaven. I've got people who will say, shake the hand, sign the card, think positively, the best life within you, read this book, say this prayer. I think we should stick with the Bible. Salvation's not in a prayer. Salvation's not in a book. Salvation's not in a pew. Salvation's in a person. That person has a name. His name is Jesus Christ. 1 John chapter 5. The man of God said, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son does not have life. Paul said in Romans chapter number 8, if you have not the Spirit of Christ, you're none of his. That's pretty plain and simple. But the way, and when you think right now, preacher, you're hurt. I ain't getting no encouragement. Sound like some of my kids. That's one of the joys of being the pastor. You can tell on your kids. You never encourage me. You better be glad I don't encourage you the way my dad encouraged me. Kick me in the backside. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Man, Dad, will you encourage me? Yeah, grab the chainsaw, grab the shrub trimmers, grab the weed eater, grab the lawnmower, grab the shovel, grab the rake. Dad, how's this building character for me right now? I'm just pretty torqued off and saying things under my breath. But can I say this? We need to hear the truth of God, and that should encourage us. Now, you may think, they said, how do you get that message out of Nathaniel sitting underneath the fig tree? Nathaniel was sitting underneath the fig tree because it echoes what the Lord had prophesied and said in the Old Testament. When you sit under the fig tree, That's a blessing. That's a position of favor. When you get to stay under the fig tree, you're out from the heat of the day, the cool breeze. You're sheltered from the things. Nathanael's underneath the fig tree. Notice, remember what Jesus said, an Israelite indeed in whom is no guile. He said, man, this pretty good feller. He's sitting under the fig tree. In 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 25, it says, and Judah and Israel dwelt safely, every man under his vine, under his fig tree, from Dan even to Beersheba, all the days of Solomon. Now, if anybody's been a Bible reader and read their Bible, the very next king after Solomon, the children of Israel had nothing but turmoil. Solomon was the last king, Christian Faulkner, where the blessings of God was there. And what had happened to the children of Israel? Everyone got a fig tree, and everyone got to sit underneath it. Joy. Where Logan and Levi was walking around Friday night around the bonfire, and they had this question. You know, kids come up with these crazy questions. And they come up and they said, and I think it was Levi and Logan, they said, hey, if you could do one thing to change the world, what would it be? Now, some of you is probably thinking, you said something pretty spiritual, didn't you? No. I said, man, everybody gets a money tree in the backyard. Bam! And how do you water it and take care of it? It's how that tree produced its dollar bills. Y'all listen to the preacher? Well, can I say this? We don't have to get a money tree in our backyard. We got a tree of life, and it's Jesus Christ. That cross produced a fruit called salvation, that we would be saved, forgiven of our sins. But friend, the mark, the knowing, is that we produce fruit like them fig trees. Friend, I didn't come here, and God didn't send me here to bust you up and beat you up because you've been hiding your sin. Friend, I've done it. I'll do it next week, maybe. It's our flesh. Don't no one look at me like you're super spiritual, better than me. Just because I may not drink alcohol and do all those other things that deem to be real bad to me. Sometimes the Bible says the thought of foolishness is sin. And I'm telling you, when I get along with my thoughts, Brother Junior, there's a lot of foolishness that goes on. And I got to ask God to forgive me. I got to repent. I told him last night, I'll tell you this. Here's what repentance is, Rob. It's you taking sides with God against yourself. That's repentance. Because when you do that, you'll turn from yourself and you'll go to God. You know what's wrong with a lot of people? They don't want to turn to God. I got this covered, preacher. I know. I talked to many people. Talked to one guy, they said, them guys at work trying to get me to the gym. I said, you need to get to the gym. I said, but don't you know the half of it? They said, man, how come you don't come? We've been trying to get you to come. So, Sally, this is what I did. I grabbed that table and went. I said, how come you won't come to church with me? Why will we not allow God to have everything about our life? Why will we not come to Him and repent? I got saved when I was 27 years old. I ain't seen I done everything that was stupid, but I done a lot of stupid things. And I have never found out of all those stupid things that added one good thing to my life. None of those stupid things anything good to my life. Before I got saved, the only good things that's ever happened to me was my mom, my dad, my wife, and my kids. But all the stupid things I did didn't add not one thing good to me. You know what it did? It saddled me with a guilt and a shame and a regret. I wished I'd never done that. But I found there's a Savior who says, I know what you're feeling. Let me take it from you. Let's swap. Let's trade. You give me your guilt, your shame. Give me your sin. And I'll give you my righteousness. Isn't that a wonderful trade? That when God sees you, He won't see the awful sin. He'll see me. Because when God looked down at the cross, saw all your awful sin and didn't see me. And I'm not preaching this so you can say, man, that's a wonderful message. I'm hoping some of you's mad. I'm hoping some of you's going, what? I came here to get encouraged. Here's the encouragement. Forsake your sin. Confess your sin to Him. You ain't got to confess it to nobody else. You ain't got to tell me. But confess it to God. Some people I've heard even on that sit on the altar, Sister Stella, and try to confess every single sin that they did. Lord God, help me, Brother Brian. If I had to do that, I'd still be there. But I just gave Him my life and confessed it all. I'm a sinner. Sure, that's I'm a sinner and I'm lost and I have no way to go. And God said, that's good. I know how to get you there. Got me through Christ. God wants you to sit underneath the fig tree all the days of your life where you're sheltered, you're shaded, and you're provided for. The only way you'll get that is for you to come to God, come to Christ. Let go of your apron of fig leaves. Let Him dig around your root and around your trunk. Let Him water you. Let Him fertilize you. And you can produce fruit. But friend, that'd be amiss to say this. If you don't want to, you don't have to. My Bible tells me He cuts those trees down and He casts them in the fire. And that fire is unquenchable. And that fire fadeth not. We had this fire Friday and we was throwing the skids on and the wind and the wood on and the breeze was blowing pretty good. Trav, you've had bonfires, you know, that wind starts blowing, them fans get to whipping pretty fast. And as quick as we could throw a skid on, Larry, didn't we? Them skids would get burned up just like that. Burn up just like that. Burn up just like that. Well, see, in hell, there's no wind a-blowing. So they don't get burned up just like that. They sit and they burn. 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 It never stops. Throughout all eternity, you burn. You burn. The rich man lifted his eyes up in hell and said, can I have a drop of water because I'm in these torments and flame. If he was to cry out today, he's in the same spot, in the same condition, the same torment, the same flame.